Ohana means family. Podcast means life's a binge.
It's triggered.
All right, here we go.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And we have a special guest with us today. Welcome back to the show, Beth Accomando.
Yay!
Thank you.
Yay! Yeah.
She's in the three-timer club.
You get a Kermit laugh.
A hat trick. Yeah.
Nobody else gets that.
And I get a dog in my lap.
So many bonuses.
And there's probably going to be dogs barking, but that's typical for this show, as you know.
He seems chill now.
Those Kermit crazy arms are just like, that's just something that's just such a source of joy.
Yeah.
Like, ever since I was a kid, and he would wave his arms over his head.
So simple, too. One hand just doing this. Like, it's really
just
wiggling it back and forth. Okay, good. But thanks everyone out there for listening and downloading and liking, subscribing and leaving ratings, reviews, and all that fun stuff that you do. Following us on all social media at Life's a Binge. That's Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all that stuff. And if you want to help us out, you can hit us up at patreon.com/Life's a Binge and be like David and Tony and Kathy and Jess and BJ.
And Trevor. Yes.
And they're honorary bingers like Trevor. Who likes to bark in the background? It wouldn't be our show if there wasn't a dog bark
it's
at least once.
Flavor.
That's right. It's ambiance.
Or he listens later.
It's ambiance.
No, listen.
Yeah, that was me.
This is me.
Yeah, he tells Frank, hey, Frank, did you hear me? I did it again.
And Frank's like, yep.
You were a little pitchy, dog.
Yeah. I heard you.
Oh, dude.
Yep.
No, I couldn't get to it fast enough. That was okay. That was a good one.
What were you going to hit?
I was going to hit this.
Oh.
Is that or like it deserves
to be a no from me, dog?
Yeah, it's gonna be a little pitchy, dog. A little pitchy.
A friend like me.
No, that's on pitch.
Yeah,
that's,
we got pitchy stuff
right in the strike zone.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, enough nonsense. We're gonna get to this one pretty quick. So go ahead and take a breath with us.
Life's a binge. And wow.
Right?
What's up?
What's up?
What's
up? All right. That's the one I've been trying to practice to do a McConaughey, and I can't do it. I can't. I try really, really hard, but to whistle on your S's, like, he's every time he's. I can't do it. It's not that. It's not, very subtle.
It's not the dude.
He has
from
a very subtle,
guy.
Like, I can't do it. I can't
really,
whistle my
to
ass.
To really capture a spirit, you have to try less.
Really difficult. You'd think it'd be easy to do. It's really difficult.
That's funny.
Anyway.
Tony had some good suggestions for. We've been doing this thing where we're. Have a whoever can
a celebrity,
do an impression.
A celebrity guest.
So we do an impression, like, to introduce the show. So we'll have to do it afterwards.
Oh, I did one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was.
Should be surprised?
It was Stitch from Lilo and Stitch.
Uh-huh. I'm going to. I'd have to take your word for that. Sorry to say.
It's a cross between Marvin the Martian and Smeagol or Gollum. It's right in this range right here. Oh, Hannah means family. Yeah.
Is that good? Mm-hmm. Oh, right on. It sounds cool. It sounds good. Yeah. I never saw that movie.
Yeah, it's good. I watched that recently.
Yeah.
That's where it is. It's right there.
On.
That's what it sounds like.
And trust me, I killed it. Okay?
Yeah, I nailed it, man. I nailed it.
Just trust, BJ.
Right on. I trust.
What's up, guys? And Beth? What's up?
Let's see. You want to start?
I didn't do anything.
You didn't do nothing?
It's just been raining.
Come on, I keep...
Nothing.
I need to learn them through snow and rain and sleet and blah, blah, blah. I deliver in the rain, so basically.
Right through rain.
Yeah.
Well, I just like to romanticize your job whenever possible.
You like to romanticize it?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, by like connecting ourselves to our mailman, and sometimes like you know that like that's it's just nice. You get to know a community. You know, you get to get your face out there.
It is pretty bomb. Yeah. I do love it a lot. And today I walked for 9.6 miles.
Ah, that's good.
Moly. In the rain. Well, it was like the perfect rain though, where it wasn't like giant raindrops and heavy rain.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was just a constant light drizzle all day long, which is exactly what we need.
That's Seattle, man. Yeah. That's Seattle.
I'm cool with that.
And I kind of liked it.
Yeah, it was awesome. I got that little heater thing because we're having book club
house. It's so cute and little.
I like it. I need one of those.
It's a tabletop. So we're going to use it because we're hosting book club here on Saturday.
Oh,
and we're going to hopefully be able to do it outside depending on the rain.
Oh, what's the book?
It's a book by Alex Marwood called The Killer Next Door. Ooh. And it's pretty okay.
It's a light read.
Yeah. It's like it was Samantha's pick. Okay. Stephen King reviewed it and said it was scary as hell. And it's about this small flat in London that has like 7 rooms in it. It's like basically a house that every room's rented by somebody else.
So is it a collection of stories or no?
No, it's all just everyone connected, and you find out somebody's mummifying young ladies and try and find out who it is as you go along. And yeah.
So was it scary as hell?
No, it was a wrong choice of words by Mr. King. I mean, that's not the right word. Like, it's not scary. Like, to me, scary as hell would be like suspense and like what's going to happen and this and that. But it's like there's a bunch of gory stuff and like, you know, he details the mummification process and ripping out organs and brains through noses and all that stuff. But I mean, that doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me at all. But like, I guess the layperson might be like, oh my God, that's creepy and gross and scary. But,
right.
But it was all right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I get to choose the next book.
Oh.
And I think I'm choosing, I think his name's Alex Larson. I don't know. He writes these narratives that are nonfiction narratives.
Mm-hmm.
And The Devil in the White City, I think is what it's called, where it's about the Chicago World's Fair and H.H. Holmes, the first serial killer.
So it's got a historical...
It's all, 100%. Historical, it's all nonfiction.
Nonfiction.
It's nonfiction, Okay, but cool. But it's told in narrative form.
Yeah.
Sometimes so apparently, I don't know.
Think of what the term nonfiction means.
Digestible history. Wow, we made it a whole...
Play it back in my head.
4.5 minutes.
Right on.
But yeah, that's what's up with me.
Right on. Right on. I am progressing forward in my future with SeaWorld, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited about it.
Nice.
We're trying to talk SeaWorld into doing a weekly podcast for themselves. Give them an opportunity to have a long-form format for them to...
Reach
people and tell their stories in an effective way and have, as opposed to
not doing anything.
Yes, as opposed to not saying anything ever until it's far too late.
Imagine that.
But but it's exciting, which is exciting. It's exciting to be excited about something and like to be like pumped up for it. So, you know, until they shoot me down, we're going to keep on flying that hot air
balloon.
Ride
that high.
Until all the way across the purple. Whatever.
Right. Mountains majesty.
Yeah. I was thinking the Rainbow Bridge or something, but I guess that's death.
No,
isn't
that's,
it?
Yeah,
that's not till death.
Is that people death or that's dog death, right?
Animal is it?
Death. Yeah.
It's animal death.
Rainbow Breath or Rainbow Bridge Rainbow is dog Bridge. Death. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Or Super Mario Kart, like depending on.
Now we're getting into totally different territory.
Right.
Yeah. And also, that's Rainbow Road, Jared.
Oh, dang it. You're right.
Oh.
Son of a bitch.
So, anyway,
gotcha.
We're moving with that. We're rolling along that.
That's good.
You know, so that's fun.
Cool.
So,
Rich?
Portraits. The three piece headshots. I was all day long today, like at a corporate conference thing,
mm-hmm.
which is cool and at the same time not cool. Like, it's cool because I'm in one spot and people just kind of come to me. What's not cool is it's not nearly enough time to like really get a good look out of somebody. I have like, you have two
is
and a half.
Is it just like a line? And
two
people
and a
just,
half minutes.
Yeah.
It depends. Like, I've done them where I've had like a literal line of people and another one where it's like a constant stream. Like, people come up and they leave and no one comes up and blah, blah, blah.
So is this like prom pictures, but like a corporate event?
No, it's like, it's headshots, but it's just set up for you there to use if you want. So yeah, the idea of it is
where you just walk up and like, oh, you're here to take my picture.
Because it costs the people nothing.
Right. Right,
the conference is paid for it. So they can just come up and get a headshot if they want.
Like, here, try it with these 2019 glasses on.
Right.
Thing on
yeah,
or
yeah.
Big boa or something.
It's a photo booth. Yeah. They're thinking photo booth. Yeah.
The Cat in the Hat hat. Yeah. It's fun.
Do you also do like mug shots, profiles?
That's one of the jokes that I use, because some people will come up and they're like, yes, all about it. And others are like, well, I guess we have to. And I say, because we have to take a picture of their badge so we know who to give the photo to, because I don't know who they are. And they hold up, this is like a mug shot. And I'm like, yeah, and I'll turn sideways so I can see your profile. And then they'll laugh. And then I was like, ha ha, I got you now. And then I have my 2.5 minutes to make them look good. It's just not enough time. Like, you need an hour,
yeah.
Really.
Well, yeah.
You really do. Half an hour to an hour to really, like, break through somebody's, like, this is how I look when I'm in pictures, which is always the worst. Because I want the real stuff.
The goods.
Heck yeah. The goods.
Right on.
But yeah, it was a good day. It was fun. It's always fun.
Sweet.
That's it.
How about you, Beth? Yeah, what have you been up to?
Well, I just came back from a short vacation and was culling through hundreds of emails and found a couple pieces of joy. The new John Wick 3 trailer just dropped.
Yay.
And I love that film. So I'm looking forward to see what they do in number 3. And I mean, just the fact that you've got John Wick on horseback riding out into traffic.
I was going to say, is this in the city?
Okay. I don't know where they're going with it. I don't care. Right. I'm going to watch it. And then the other one, just for the title alone, I requested a screening link. It's The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Bigfoot. And it stars Sam Elliott.
So now,
I mean, I don't know. How can you say no to that?
You cannot.
Starring Sam Elliott. I wonder how that's going to sound like.
It's the connection.
Right?
I want to know. They have my attention.
Sometimes, man.
But I think Bigfoot is carrying a virus.
Maybe Sam Elliott's Bigfoot.
Well, Hitler.
I'm going to take you down.
Sometimes
Hitler.
There's a man.
I'm going to go shoot.
Sometimes there's a bad man.
I'm just going to go shoot Hitler, and then I got to shoot Bigfoot right after.
Who is that?
I don't know. I can't do Sam Elliott.
I can't reach my Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
You don't have enough mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
To filter out the sound.
I can't do it.
But that was a joyful way to be greeted back at work.
Man who killed Hitler and then Bigfoot.
You're like, why do I even take vacations?
Naturally, one would follow the other.
That screening link is waiting for me when I get home.
Oh, that's
exciting. Look at that. That's how good life is.
So you get to straight up watch it. Like,
I just get to watch it. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And you've already watched John Wick. Oh, you haven't watched.
No, I've not watched John Wick 3.
Right on. But you love John Wick 2, I remember.
John Wick, the first one, was perfection.
Yes.
Dynamite.
It was like just elegant, simple, minimalist. You killed my dog. All of you are going to die.
Yep.
I love it.
What a great story.
It really is. It's so heartbreaking, though, that first scene.
Yes. Oh,
good
man.
Lord.
Agreed.
Oh, rough.
The second one was great fun. It wasn't as good as the first one just because it didn't have that simplicity, that like elegant through line that goes through it. But I like the fact that they didn't try to just remake the first one.
Yeah.
They added some different elements to it, made it a little more complex of a world that he's fighting in. Action sequences were great. I am a total action junkie. So, I mean, honestly, you don't have to give me a plot so long as you give me enough action
Absolutely.
To give me a little buzz. So they do incredible action stuff. And, you know, he takes his cue kind of from the Hong Kong style, which is longer, wider shots. You let the stuff play out. You get to really see what these stunt guys are doing. So,
that's cool. Yeah,
I get a buzz from those. And John Wick 3 is coming. Don't know where they're going with it. Don't know how in the world he can survive when everybody in the world is after him for a $40 million bounty. But
you don't need to know.
I'll buy it.
Yeah, exactly. Buy it. Just like how Liam Neeson can always find somebody off a phone call.
When you have a certain set of skills.
He just knows, right?
I mean, my only concern is they're pairing him up with Halle Berry. And, you know, she kind of was... bad films like Die Another Day, worst Bond film ever, and Catwoman, probably the worst DC film ever. And that's saying a lot.
You showed us.
I did.
That super cut.
I did.
That was fantastic.
I showed them the basketball scene from Catwoman.
Cut.
Absolutely nauseating.
Yeah.
Never mind. Don't get me started on Catwoman, please.
We don't have the time.
I don't want to talk about it or I want to think about it.
There's plenty of women out there who would be great that I wouldn't have any qualms about.
Yeah.
Even Michelle Yeoh, who's a few years older, you know, but man, she kicks ass.
I could see that.
She kicks
ass. That would be awesome.
Absolute ass, yes. So, but that's the only thing. Otherwise,
Bring it on. Totally. Yeah. Bring totally on John. More John Wick is always awesome.
Yes,
right
it on. Is.
Sweet. Moving right along.
Moving forward.
That's what's up. What's up.
This just in.
Nothing's happening. La la la.
There was a lot of like. There's the Spider-Man trailer came out and people went nuts for it. Something. People else. Went nuts.
What now? The Spider-Man trailer.
Spider-Man yeah,
Far From Home.
I've not seen that.
Didn't you, Jared? Did you put it in the chat?
Yes. Well, BJ doesn't pay attention
I'm
to anything.
I'm doing
it's
eight
BJ.
Different things at one time. Like when we're chatting, I'm like, oh, hold on, like I'm doing that. So
yeah.
So anyway, I will have watched it by the time we air this. So.
All right.
So instead of watching the trailer, what is it that you like to do?
I mean, I like to do myself.
Dude.
Hey.
Come on, man.
Well, you asked.
DJ.
That's not cool.
Why'd you ask that?
I
mean,
I thought there was more. I thought I saw more trailers or something. I mean, John Wick came out. We just talked about that.
There's a big one.
What's that?
The teaser for... supposed Ghostbusters 3.
Oh, that was the thing. Ghostbusters
that's
3.
The thing.
Yes.
Right. That's the thing.
That's
the joke.
Yep.
No.
I'm okay with it.
Beth, why
don't
you take this one? What are your feelings on Ghostbusters 3?
I didn't even want to watch it.
Yeah.
The teaser doesn't show anything. It plays it plays sounds that you know and love from Ghostbusters.
Right.
That's really it.
Like the flute going up and down.
And I read.
And you hear the proton pack turn on. And it's like of tarp flaps, and you see the Ecto-1. That's it.
Well, I heard it's like a through story, so it's like continuing on with the same characters.
Actual three.
Yes.
Supposedly Bill Murray's involved.
Supposedly.
Who knows? I don't know.
They were all supposedly involved in the other one. And
right.
Look how
right.
bad that was, and how bad their roles were.
I still haven't watched it. I still haven't watched that
You
one.
Haven't seen it?
I haven't.
Oh,
I watched
yoy.
It. It was like, That's how I thought.
It's
okay.
Yes. I was like, meh.
No, I think I'll watch it.
It was enjoyable. The women are funny. There were some funny jokes, but overall, it was like this could have been anything other than Ghostbusters.
And
same jokes.
It. Yeah,
four scientists trying to solve some other problem, or even ghosts. Like it could have even been ghosts. Just don't call it Ghostbusters, and you have a hit, a blockbuster hit.
That's their property. They're like, this is what we have to milk. We have to like this. Is what we have to work with.
Yeah,
we got to make. Dukes of Hazzard.
I mean,
movie,
it's Sony. What
we
else?
Own the property. So.
What else does Sony have that people really want to see?
Oh,
Spider-Man.
That is true. The other thing that I saw was the new Greg Daniels show with Steve Carell. Apparently, this is happening on Netflix, and it's called Space Force.
Yeah,
really.
I can't wait to see that.
Yes. So we'll see. Steve Carell and
is it,
Greg
I wonder
Daniels
if it's
TV
strictly
show.
Strictly a response and reaction to.
Why
Space
else
Force?
Would it be?
Because maybe what I'm thinking is if they had some idea for a show already, and then they're like when the Space Force nonsense started, they're like, you know what? Let's make it Space Force. And so
other space type show.
Yeah, kind of silly like what's that Seth MacFarlane?
The Orville?
The Orville.
Which I've heard is fantastic. I haven't seen it.
I watched one episode of it and I was like,
eh. You don't like that.
I do have a little bit of a thing.
Seth MacFarlane?
Yeah, not drastically. But anyway, yeah. I just wondered if that was something that they catered to the moment. But
yeah, I heard somebody said that the Orville is doing Star Trek better than the new Star Trek series. And
woof.
That was a review that I heard.
That's not good.
I haven't seen it, but I don't know. I like Seth MacFarlane.
Good for them. I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah.
So, in the news this week, our friend of the show, Dave Walker, got interviewed by the Washington Post
Isn't it called Douglas? Yes. Isn't it just, or is it called Frederick Douglas?
I think it's called The Life of Frederick Douglas, but it's a graphic novelist. A graphic novelist
Nautilus.
Yeah. about Frederick Douglass. So
yeah.
That's exciting and very cool.
Heck yeah.
That is
very
cool.
And I like the connection because Beth interviewed him a couple years ago. It was fantastic, by the way.
Nice.
We should need to find
Oh, yes. That podcast is one of my favorites.
It was really fun. That's like I was just sitting and listening to both of you guys talk, and you're both so well-versed at the subject matter. And I was just like, it was just a joy to listen to. So if you can ever find on the Cinema Junkie, is that what it is?
Yep, Cinema Junkie. It was on Blaxploitation.
Oh. yeah.
And the way he described some of those films.
I'm here for it.
he talked about Truck Turner as being a film that just makes you purr because it's so perfect.
That's nice. So cool. And like I like 99%, I'm going to guess, people have not seen that movie.
Probably not.
So
David Walker's going to be here for Black Comics Day in February. So
he messages because he usually stays with me when he comes to town, and so he's like,
"No big deal.
I'm thinking about coming to town on Friday." Yeah, no big deal. No big deal. Yeah. You know, we're friends and everything. You know, he's in the Washington Post.
BJ, let me pick this up for you.
Dave Walker. David Walker. Oh yeah.
Yeah, you dropped that name.
David Walker. That belongs to me.
Perfect.
So, but speaking of David Walker and John Wick. When I was doing the dishes, and sometimes I always have to, like, I want to put something on while I'm doing a bunch of chores. Enter the Dragon the other day.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's so fun. I was just, like, taken back to my childhood.
Was that on Netflix right now?
It's on Netflix. Yeah. And it's just so fun. The extreme.
It's the, yeah.
The extreme sound effects. Yeah. And then the facial expressions. Yeah. Yeah. They're like stomping on someone's head.
I love it.
And then, yeah. It's
those little freeze moments after he's done. Yeah. Oh. Like holds for just that second, flexes.
Yeah. Maybe squeals.
Watching the master.
It's so fun. And then, deed to do. Dang it, my stupid notes. Here we go.
Deed to do.
Oh, these are. Okay.
Yeah, you got
notes. I took a few notes.
Nice.
And so this is interesting, and I just heard actually, I had heard about it, but then I heard a story on NPR on the way here. They have a documentary about the Fry Festival, which I'm not
Fire,
that Fire Festival. I'm sorry. Yes.
Sorry.
I'm thinking I'm getting down. I'm dyslexic. Donna Fry
We're
story.
Here for you.
No. Fire Festival.
Yes.
That I kind of barely heard about. Like I remember hearing about it back in the day, but it was just kind of in passing. But it's very interesting. They made a documentary about it, and then Hulu had a documentary too, and then they kind of undercut them and released it early.
Yeah.
So that one's out now. And then I guess the other one comes out on Friday, but it should be interesting.
I really want to watch them both because I was there for that
what do you mean
moment
now?
On the internet. Like I followed along there with the photos and people posting and talking like,
right.
What is this bullshit? Like what's going on? And supposedly the company that produced the Netflix version is tied to or is like I've only this is all hearsay, so I've done no research. Do not burn down the podcast for this. Supposedly they're either attached to or are the actual company that was behind the festival in the first place.
See, now that makes me feel like a little like leery. Like
that's gonna be fantastic because if there's the Hulu one, that's like this is actually what went down, and then you watch the Netflix one, and they're like, this was fantastic.
Yeah, so I want to watch them both together to see, like, all right, let's find the truth somewhere in the middle. See what's going on here.
Let's get to
my only concern is like if it was all scammy, and I haven't watched that yet, but if it was a scam, like, do we want to support the people who perpetrated the scam who are now making a movie?
They've already made their money.
My vote with my dollar. Yeah. Social awareness goes too far.
That's the weird thing about Netflix. It's like, am I giving them money when I just give it a view? I don't think so.
I don't know how that works.
You already paid them.
Yeah,
you've already paid them for the month.
You can always rate the film really low if you're mad.
Yeah,
not anymore. You can just give it a thumbs down.
Oh, really?
They changed their rating. Thumb up, thumbs down. It's no longer stars.
Yeah, very Roman.
Good times. Any other news? I mean, we got Beth's big news that we're working our way towards.
Yes, we are. The Watchmen series on HBO. I'm kind of excited about that.
Oh yeah.
Although I haven't seen anything from it. They have a little bit of a blurb in this general HBO like promo.
General HBO.
Very good. That's so stupid. I don't wish I would have watched the show just because it didn't call my name.
But when you make the joke,
I like it a lot.
Every time you make it.
So
Watchmen is going to be a show. I didn't even know that.
A series on HBO.
Huh. I'm on board.
Is it all new cast and stuff, or is it
whole new?
Just completely revamped. But it is Watchmen.
The same story, I'm guessing.
The graphic novel.
No, they're starting from before. They're starting earlier on. So it's not going to start with the graphic novel story.
Okay, so imagine.
Interesting.
So I think it'll be like at the height of
heroes
and heroes being a thing.
Yeah,
and like before the downturn.
Cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. Did you like Watchmen? I loved Watchmen.
The movie?
Yeah, I liked
it. I thought it was a perfect visual dictionary to go with the
with graphic novel, which I never read.
They completely missed what the point of the story was.
Yep.
So explain what happens at the end of it in the book then. What happens at the end in the book that's so different?
No, it's not the end. It's the fact that they don't really seem to get that... I'm got a dog.
Frank, like, I thought he was got yeah.
It's accosting me.
Frank.
But it wanted to have a less dark view of the world than what the graphic novel did. And so, you know, the graphic novel is trying to point out the dangers of these kind of heroes and these kind of like way of watching over the world and the movie is more leaning towards celebrating them. And so it kind of misses the darkness of it and kind of the underlying theme. So that was my issue. But it looked great. The actors were well cast.
Visually, it's,
You know, visually, it looked, but they completely, Zack Snyder just completely missed what the idea was.
What? No way.
I know.
I'm going to have to read that one.
That's weird.
So I'm curious if the series can get to some of the issues. But if they're doing earlier, they may be avoiding the darker themes.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Or maybe they'll lead
HBO.
HBO
steers into the darkness usually pretty hard. So
I don't know. I just got suckered into watching Bird Box on Netflix. I'm still feeling bad.
So what was your opinion?
I should have watched it blindfolded and with earplugs. Man, I was angry. I was angry after I watched that
Why
movie.
Why were you angry?
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, everybody's going like, wow, everybody's watching this. 45 million people watch this. And I had a friend go like, oh, yeah, it was really great. I thought, all right, every time somebody tells me to watch something like this, I usually am disappointed. And I watched it, and I was just, all right, so just at the recent Asian Film Festival, I saw this amazing Japanese film called One Cut of the Dead, which is a 35-minute single-take zombie film about people making a zombie film. And that's the first half of the movie, and then the second half of the movie goes into what they did to make the movie. That was a brilliant film. It was on my 10 best list.
Wow.
You know, like maybe 1,000 people have seen it.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And here you put Sandra Bullock in a film. You get people like lemmings to watch it. And I felt like a lemming. I was like, why did I get suckered into this?
Yeah.
You know, as soon as I watched it, I was like, I need a palate cleanser. Have to find something, you know.
For the memes.
Exactly. But, you know, I was so disappointed. It was so filled with tropes. Nothing was surprising. You knew where it was going the whole time.
Yeah.
And that makes me angry. It makes me angry because there are other films that are so much better that aren't getting the attention.
It's funny that you say that, because while I was watching it, I didn't hate it. But the more, and I feel this is like the ultimate critique on a movie, is like the more I think about it later on, the more things I find that I don't like about it. And Bird Box is one of those. Like this, the more I think about the movie, I'm like, wow, that's not good. Wait.
But see, the fact that you thought about it after watching it is like a step.
Well, that's
what they want, because like, or the people are talking about it and all this stuff.
For that.
Yeah,
I
think you were thinking about how mad you were, not thinking about any ideas.
Because like, I watched it, we talked about it, because like, it was the hotness, and we watched it. And we're like, it was okay, I guess. And then like, that was the end of it. I never thought about it again. Yeah. Like, I didn't. I'm not going to rush out to watch it again. Like, it was just, okay.
I mean, that was weeks ago. I haven't thought about it since then.
Like, I thought it was enjoyable enough.
Just now. Thanks for bringing it up, Beth.
I'm still trying to get it out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was enjoyable enough when I watched it. I thought there was more than a few decent acting moments from Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
But, like, other than that, like, it's, I don't know. We all were, like, basically, like, it was okay.
It was okay.
Like, that was our review of it. Like, it was okay.
They tried to be quiet.
You gotta ask for more than it was okay.
No, that's...
Like,
Netflix doesn't give a crap. They put out it was okay 700 times, and then there's 5 that was greats in there. Yeah. But they don't care. They're just gonna keep pumping them out for those 5 that was greats.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't have to watch it.
Right. No, but how are you gonna know unless you watch it?
And is there any way, golly, that you're influencing what they do in the future?
I don't think so. I think Jared's right. I think they're
just
going to
do
everything against the wall.
Right.
If the idea sounds halfway good, they'll make it.
There are thoughts about Netflix that are just far beyond what I can put together with my brain. But there's something nefarious, potentially nefarious about them, just controlling the content of so many people. that.
Well, and then the even you said 45 million people, like 45, like where did that number come from? Did Netflix release? Yeah, because I've searched and searched and searched to try and find numbers from stuff from Netflix, and they have it locked down, just like Disney. They just keep their like own stuff and everything locked down. Where you're like, what are the numbers on this? And they're like, we don't know. Like Disney Channel, there's no commercials whatsoever. They just only advertise their own stuff. So you're like, that's kind of weird. And then they're like, yeah, 45 million people watch this Bird Box movie. I'm like, that's a lot of people.
Or it's a lie.
Right.
Right.
I don't know.
But where did the number come from? Netflix put it out? Like, they had to have. Anyway. Yeah,
truth is truth, so.
Yeah.
You just say whatever now.
I suppose.
But I think that was all the news that I had. Yeah, that's it for my news.
I don't got nothing.
That's it?
I'm intrigued to know what Beth's all about, though.
What's it all about?
Well, then that's it.
Well, this is news.
There
isn't
was
it?
No. There's one. There's one more bit of news that I think that you're all missing.
Oh. Yeah. Well,
I'll get BJ there.
Yeah.
Unless you want, I don't know if you want to go into that or not.
Maybe the.
I'm confused.
This week, the uproar was over Gillette's commercial.
Which
you're familiar with that, and you've seen that.
I have not.
The best a man can get commercial.
Yeah. And it's been on the internet. Like, I haven't seen it aired. I haven't seen it on television, but it's been definitely a promotion that they've done on the internet.
Is it playing on TV?
I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
I've just seen the viralness of it and people. Right.
Did you watch the commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a commercial essentially that harbors the Me Too movement, and since because Gillette's motto is the best a man could get, and so they have this commercial which I like. I think it's good.
Very well made. Very well done. Gets the point across.
Yeah, that as men in society is this the best we can do.
Yeah, just basically says men do better. We need to stop this nonsense.
Yeah, and they give lots of like little scenarios of bullying and catcalling and men being stupid.
Thank you, Siri.
Yeah, Siri's like, yes.
For getting
I agree. and it was received by some quite angrily. You're painting all men as bad. And
the people who need to see it the most are the people who reacted that way.
Everybody also wants to be outraged. And
yeah.
I've gotten kicked out of two Star Wars groups for like defending The Last Jedi because I happened to like it.
Because it was
good.
You got
kicked out of the group.
I got kicked out of one, and then,
oh my
god. Fandom is ugly right now.
Well, no, it's because it's so filtered. And it's just the problem with the algorithms and all the social media. We say it all the time. It's like you're just watching everything and you're picking and choosing all the opinions that match with you. Yep. And then you're just stewing in a pile of hate.
That's right, Trevor.
Trevor agrees.
Trevor's like, this is bullshit.
I forgot you were here.
I just couldn't believe the outrage of people of like, I can't wait to watch Gillette crumble. So I forget who it was that posted on your thing. They called it like this social justice warrior skewed extreme propaganda. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Goodness.
Yeah. Like, how did you get that message from that commercial?
Right.
It's a freaking commercial, first of all. Yeah. And it's just saying, hey,
do better.
Men do better in general.
Don't be a jerk.
A friend of mine says, yeah.
Oh, I get it.
A buddy of mine posted that on his Facebook. I guess the commercial says, men, don't be jerks. Some men. All right, yeah, that sounds fair. Other men, why would you say this? How dare you? Like, oh.
Yeah, it was okay. It was a bit extreme.
So that was interesting, and it will be interesting to kind of see. And it's, politicalization.
There you go. Pixelation
of everything, I guess.
Yeah.
But
this has nothing to do with razors. Just sell razors. Really? So, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with soda. So it's interesting, and it'll be interesting to kind of follow and see. And I'm trying to be like, I'm trying to rise above. I'm trying to not be the divisive, like, you're an idiot person who I've been guilty of being in the past, especially anonymously, especially when you don't know know somebody. And so I'm trying to not be that anymore.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But
especially when
times call for it. We need a hero. That hero's me.
I need a hero.
and then a hero comes along.
Cool.
Any other hero songs you got?
I'm sure there's a lot, yeah.
The one from Spider-Man.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Which I dare not repeat. Oh, Jared will do it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
So that's all the news that I think that we have. That's
okay, it. I swear that before we hit record, we were going to talk about Beth's festival thing in the news, which is what I keep trying to transition to, and everyone's like just looking at me like I'm an idiot. So are we talking about Beth's festival during the news?
Yeah, I thought maybe we would just do another segment. That's up with the news. And then, hey, Beth, tell us about your thing.
So I mean, we can, but I specifically said we were talking about the news.
You know when we try to plan.
I like it.
You know,
I had it planned out. I have to try to transition.
So yeah, let's do it in the news. There we go.
Well, we're still in the news.
That's
right. I'm the clueless one here.
It's all like, good.
So what's this festival?
Well,
anything?
It's I'm part of a group called Film Geeks.
Yes.
Film
yes.
Geeks San Diego. You can follow us on Facebook. And what we do is we work with Digital Gym Cinema, which is this little tiny micro cinema, 46 seats, so it's not a huge venue. But Miguel Rodriguez of Horrible Imaginings Film Festival.
Who's been
a
guest on the show.
Yes, he has. We volunteer to program films there, and each year we've done a year-long film series. This is our fifth year of doing it, and we got bold and ambitious and decided to do two full years of programming.
Nice.
So what we have is once a month on a Sunday, we have a pre-code Hollywood film, and once a month on a Monday night, we have a sci-fi film.
Ooh.
And we put this out to a vote last year, asking people who come what film series you want. We put out a few ideas and said, which of these do you like? And Pre-Code Hollywood and sci-fi tied. So we decided we'll give them both.
Nice. Do both. Well, last year you did the John Carpenter one. Is that right?
That was a couple years ago. Okay. Last year was film noir. The year before that was John Carpenter. Year before that was Hammer Horror. And
right.
The first year we did it was Universal Monsters.
Heck yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So we just love showing movies and showing stuff that isn't getting shown anywhere else in San Diego. Miguel and I fell in love with these pre-code Hollywood films going to the TCM Film Festival. So they make a point of, like, unearthing these films. And, you know, what's cool about them, this little period between 1930 and 1934, Hollywood basically disregarded the production code, which had all these restrictions about what you're supposed to be able to show and not show and do and not do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go back and watch some of these films from pre-code Hollywood, if you're in a room with a bunch of people who've never seen them, you hear gasps and stuff because people are going like, they did what back in the 1930s, you know? And when you think about like, wait, my grandparents might have been watching films with naked women swimming around in the ocean with Johnny Weissmuller and Tarzan or, you know, talking about menage a trois or, you know. So they're films that they tend to be either these kind of naughty comedies where people have affairs and adultery and whatever, and nobody has to pay a price for it. Or they tend to be these kind of gritty dramas where they want to tackle the issues of Depression era America and say like, hey, we're not afraid to look at how horrible these conditions were. And, you know, inch in a little sensationalism about maybe, you know, women forced into prostitution or something.
Huh. Wow. Well, I'm really glad you said that because I've always heard pre-code Hollywood, mm-hmm. and I had no idea what it was about. So they laid, like, who was the quote unquote they that said you can't make these movies or well, what's the code, so to speak? You
so
know?
What happened to Hollywood is in the 1920s when the industry was booming, they had two major scandals that happened. Fatty Arbuckle was accused of murder and rape of this actress. And then William Desmond Taylor is this director who was murdered. His murder is still unsolved. And a couple of actresses were implicated in the, not necessarily his death, but they were implicated in knowing something. And there were implications about homosexuality and debauchery and other things. And so both of these scandals caused an uproar in the American public who said, wait a minute, Hollywood, you're decadent and debauched and we don't want to, you know, we don't want our entertainment coming from you. So Hollywood decided it's better for us to kind of like self-censor ourselves than to let the government come in.
Hmm.
Because at this point in time, films were not deemed works of art. So they were not protected by the First Amendment, not protected as free speech. So the government could literally come in.
Can't make that.
And censor them.
Yeah.
So they decided we need to do something. So they hired this guy, Will Hayes, who was the Postmaster General before that. And they came up with this production code. I'm sorry.
Jared's man.
Close personal friend of Jared's.
Exactly. And he was like a Midwesterner, and they felt he could be trusted, and he had moral values, and he went to church and things. So they created this code, which basically said, here's a list of things that we don't want you to do. Here's, you know, we want film to be a force for moral good. We want, but 1929 was also when the Depression, the stock market crash, the Depression hit, and Hollywood for the first time saw box office revenue go down.
Right.
So sticking to the code wasn't as important as trying to make money back for all the money they had invested in turning all their theaters into sound cinemas, because sound had just come in. So they decided, what can we do to lure people to the movies? Well, maybe if we're a little naughty, they'll come. And maybe if we have musicals, they'll come out to see them. So this little period between 1930 and 1934 is when the code was on the books. But because Hollywood was desperately trying to get people into the theater, they kind of ignored
it. Out.
Yeah. But then in 1934, the Catholics got up in arms about it.
Those Catholics.
Formed the Catholic Legion of Decency and said, we're coming after you.
I love that name.
Yeah. And they put a big C, condemned, onto films they didn't approve of. And if you were Catholic, you were not supposed to go to those movies. Theaters wouldn't show their films. So back in 1934, then the code kind of got some teeth to it. But we had this brief little moment of time.
The free-for-all.
The Wild West.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and someone who kind of typifies this is Mae West. So, you know, if you think of all these one-liners that you might hear from her, like, a hard man is good to find. And, mm-hmm. you know, when faced with the two evils, I choose the one I haven't tried.
Really?
You know, so she's someone who
kind of... It's a dick joke, dude. It's classic. It's classic.
When she made her first...
The tone of the snicker is...
Before she made her first film, you know, the people in the government and, you know, on the side of decency said to Hollywood, you can't let Mae West ever make a motion picture because, you know, this will lead to irreparable damage to the American public. But, you know, Hollywood needed to make some money, so.
Let me take a good look at you. You were wonderful tonight.
I'm always wonderful at night.
Yes, but tonight you were especially good.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
And that's why we're at
so,
now.
Yes. Yeah.
It's all
Mae's
fault.
It's all
Mae West.
It's all Mae West.
Can you blame her?
Dollar to make. Yeah.
That's right. Cool. So when does the screening start?
And where?
So we started last month. We had our first film. But the next one is going to be the first Sunday in February, February 3rd. We'll Perfect. Be showing I'm No Angel. With Mae West in it.
There it is.
And then our next sci-fi film is going to be a crazy cult film called A Fiend Without a Face.
Nice.
Ooh. If you haven't seen this, go check out a trailer online. There's fabulous stop-motion animation and just the craziness of, you know, science and inexplicable things.
Yes. We should listen to the
trailer. Audio
the
for
trailer
that?
From that one.
Yeah, I'll plug that in for sure.
So, I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah, I can get it right now.
Bam.
Brain, it's gone. That's not all. The entire spinal cord is missing.
What?
It's incredible.
It's as if some mental vampire at work.
Does it come from another country or another world? This terrifying menace that G2 must destroy before it's too late.
Image is fading, sir.
There it goes again. Same trouble.
How can they stop this invisible force whose only warning is a weird, blood-chilling sound? Only two people still alive can help this agent find the answers. The girl who could be a spy, and the scientist who could be the destroyer of the entire human race.
Oh, no.
We're facing a new form of life. The
nobody understands. I believe it feeds on the radiation from your atomic plant, and that it's evil. You've got to stop them. There's only one way. Shut down your atomic plant.
If I can get through, I can blow up the control room.
That was the sound of resolution there at the end.
We don't use music like that anymore.
Or the,
you don't use copy like that.
Yeah, or the announcer, like, now it's like, no, the brains are coming out. And instead of like, oh no, what do we do? Somebody stop the brain.
Well, the only warning is a weird sound.
A blood-curdling sound coming after you.
I don't know why the use of the word weird just sounded so funny in that. Like, weird. Weird. Like,
oh. I mean, he's not wrong. It is weird.
Oh, it's weird, man.
So for this series, we had a lot of people asking for sci-fi, but everybody was asking for like a different kind of sci-fi. Dystopian sci-fi, 50s sci-fi, cheesy sci-fi, cult sci-fi, end of the world sci-fi. So this year we're kind of getting this broad spectrum of stuff. So this is kind of on the cult side, but we're showing the original Planet of the Apes. Yes. We're showing George Lucas's first film, THX-1138.
Double S.
Yeah, and Logan's Run. So there's a lot of different stuff. And we're ending the year with one of my favorite films, which is Dark City, which came out in 1999 when everybody, I don't know if you remember, everybody was worried about the new millennium coming and all your computers weren't going to go crazy all hell was going to break loose. So there were a lot of sci-fi films kind of dealing with that sensibility. And the film that I was really pushing to show, because it's a film that I feel is underappreciated, is Silent Running.
Perfect.
And so you get to see Bruce Dern go a little crazy because he wants to defend the forests that are, they've basically, the basis of the film is that Earth has been destroyed in terms of all its plants, flora and fauna and whatever. And all that's left is what they've put on these spaceships that are out circling the planet.
Orbiting biodomes.
Yes, exactly. And they get the word from the big corporation that owns the spaceship that, you know what, it's not profitable anymore. You need to blow up the forests and come back and you know, settle and go back to being a commercial ship. And so Bruce Dern has a little bit of issue with that. I don't know if you want to play some of his craziness.
Absolutely. Let's check that out.
Hey, look, give me a slice of that cantaloupe, huh?
Hey, don't ask Lowell for a slice. I'd be delighted to give you a slice of that cantaloupe.
Just sit down and shut up. Sit down, sit down, sit down! And shut up and leave me alone, all of you, now, and let me eat.
Hey, now, what's the big deal? I can't see the difference between that and this anyway.
You don't see the difference? The difference is that I grew it. That's what the difference is. That I picked it and I fixed it. And it has a taste and it has some color. And it has a smell. And that it calls back a time when there were flowers all over the earth, and there were valleys, and there were plains of tall green grass that you could lie down in, that you could go to sleep in. And there were blue skies, and there was fresh air, and there were things growing all over the place, not just in some domed enclosures blasted some millions of miles out into space.
Look at that stuff. How can you guys sit there and really say anything to me about this? Look at this crap. Look at that. Dried synthetic crap. And you've become so dependent on it that I bet you can't even live without it.
What do we want, Olo?
Don't you realize how pitiful that is, what you just asked me? On Earth, everywhere you go, the temperature is 75 degrees. Everything is the same. All the people are exactly the same. Now, what kind of life is that?
I wonder how many, like, Whole Food proponents kind of, like, use this movie as inspiration. You know, like, this is, you know, because the message is clearly true, like, in most of it, like, what I've heard of it. And so I wonder how much of an inspiration this has proved over the years.
Well, you can hear how serious he is about it, too. Like, he's giving it his all. Like,
That's Bruce Dern, man.
He's giving it all he's got.
And this is the first film directed by Douglas Trumbull, who was a effects guy who worked on Star Wars. And so they set a lot of standards in terms of the effects that they had in this film. But it's it's really, I love this movie. I mean, you know, it's a little bit corny and goofy, you know, when you listen back to it from our perspective now. But you know, when it came out, it was really trying to mix this environmental message with sci-fi. And it's one of the films that I really enjoy.
Nice. Yeah.
I think it'd be a nice goal to have for there to be a Life's a Binge representative like it. At least every other movie, at least. And then just so we can reference it, because it's such a good thing. It's a cool thing. And and we'd like to support it.
The Digital Gym is not far from where either of us live.
No, it's very close. I've been there several times. Yeah. I was a member there, too. I don't think I'm still a member.
Yeah,
Yeah, I do need to renew. But yeah, the Digital Gym is great. Mm-hmm. And that theater is a fantastic like screening area for a group of 45 people.
Well, and for the Sunday movies, the pre-code films, I always make a themed dessert to go with the films. So there's a little extra.
Yeah, you've got quite the kind of like a represent. You've gained quite a rep as a cook, especially for themed baked goods and not just baked goods, but other stuff too.
I got to come up with something for Mae West.
Mm-hmm. Right on. The theme queen. Speaking of themed, when we were talking about this heater over here, I was like, now Beth's got the bomb ass heater at her house. So what's fire pit?
Oh, the Death Star fire pit.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It looks so cool.
It's amazing.
The like blown up and every
time,
one.
And it looks cool. I bet every time you have a fire in it.
Yep. I just have to make sure I don't set any fires during the Santa Ana week. Yeah. I don't want to be the one responsible.
Everything
for
fire.
Right. Ooh, the Death Star started that one.
But it would stand. It would like live through it all.
It would definitely.
Yeah. Sweet. And so, if people want more information, they just go. They find Cinema Junkies, or is it through Digital Gym? Like, where should they go?
Well, you can find it in a number of places. We have a Facebook page for the Film Geeks, so it's the Film Geeks San Diego. And right now, Mae West is the cover photo we have up there. But we list all our films there. You can send us messages, ask questions. We put up a lot of information because one of the things we like to do is give you a little bit of context for the films we show, give you a little sense of like when they were made, what else was made around that time, why is it important to come take a look at this film. Cinema Junkie, if you want to check out the podcast or the blog, I cover all that stuff so you can listen to some podcasts about pre-code Hollywood, and there's one coming up on sci-fi. And Digital Gym will list all the films that we are screening, so you can buy tickets online there.
Cool.
But our Facebook page is a good place to go because we also query people about the kind of stuff they want to see. So we'll be asking for what you want to show next year, and we do we've been doing some events at the Comic-Con Museum as well, so we'll have a 12-hour horror fest coming up there.
So now that's open.
It used to be
the Hall of Champions?
Yes.
Okay.
And so it's open. It has not been remodeled yet, and they're going to close for remodeling at the end of this year. And as it remodels, they'll be opening up possibly sections of it.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be in its like complete state, I don't think, for another about 2 years. But they have a functioning movie theater, about 150 seats there.
Oh, nice.
And we did a horror marathon called The Secret Morgue last September. And we showed 12 hours of horror films.
That wow,
fun.
We
that's so great.
Had a great time there and fed people, had some beer for them. And do we have beer? No, we had cold brew. And we had gurneys and a morgue setting. And
right on.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
But we're going to do a Bond marathon coming up during the summer. No, coming up at the day before James Bond's birthday, November 10th. Yeah. So
fun.
But yeah, so we love doing movie events.
It was funny when I was thinking about Beth's coming on tonight. Hey, Beth's going to be here. And I was thinking about introducing you. And I'm thinking like along the lines of Daenerys Targaryen, like this whole like string of titles. Movie reviewer on KPBS, purveyor of fine films, and so all these different names that I could come up with there.
Home Haunter too.
Home Haunter.
Yep.
Explain.
Oh, I do a home haunt every year. Been doing it for like 30 years. So this year we did we electrocuted someone every time he came through.
Nice.
We built a little federal prison. Commitment. We built a little federal prison right in front of my house with razor wire, and we have an electric chair back there. And We had, yeah, so basically it was kind of a little cross between that Denzel Washington film Fallen and the film Shocker. So it's the notion that this guy is getting electrocuted and there's a demon inside. And you got to be really careful because the demon passing can jump one to the other.
I really love that movie. Yeah, so. That's a good flick.
Shocker I don't remember, but Fallen I really enjoyed that whole thing.
I got to step up my game. You're killing people at your house and I just have a few decorations here.
I haven't murdered anybody.
Yeah. I think Beth forces everyone to raise their game. That's right. Their Halloween game is weak.
I'm getting there.
The facade is still up and my son went out through the prison front the other day and he came back in. He's like, "Hey mom, there's some kids outside and I heard them and they were going like, wow, look, did you see somebody just came out of the haunt? That's cool. They keep it up all year."
That's cool.
I had a dead body in there for a year because we did Dracula's Castle. So we had this glass casket with Lucy's body. And I was just...
Holy crap.
Last year was a bad year for me. I was burned out on everything. And I just threw a tarp over it and said, like, I'm going to leave it there till whenever. And every now and then I'd find the tarp lifted up.
I dare you to go look.
A couple of kids might have gone in there and go, oh my God.
That's so sweet.
So yeah, you can add that to my
long list of introductions.
And a credential I'm proud of.
Haunter of homes.
I have people who fly in from Washington, D.C. to help out and from L.A. And we start planning it November 1st. We're like working on the next year. I have a friend who's a screenwriter and he writes these scripts for us.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, friends who you're...
Jeez. You just forced Jared to quit Halloween altogether. I guess I'll show up at Beth's house, but why would I do mine?
It's so much fun. Once you hear kids scream and run from your house, you are addicted.
That sounds good to me.
I have video of one kid who went in there like not sure about it and he came flying out going like, it's real, I told you it's real, and he took off and left his, I don't know if it was his brother, his friend, his mom, but he was off on a tear and did not look back. And I don't know where he went. Kids tripped over themselves. One kid peed his pants.
That's how you know you're doing it right.
That's how you know you're doing it right.
That is a measure of success right there.
We have a good time.
I was going to wet my pants. Jared's got all my best quotes kind of snatched out of the air to throw on there at any time. So.
All your proudest moments.
Yeah. And he just giggles and giggles whenever he
does. It was perfect.
It was good. That was very well done.
She lobbed that one up there for you.
I didn't see you, but I bet your eyes were just like, oh, did you just say wet pants? I've got a button for that. Quink. Right on.
Oh, sweet.
So I want to make sure we don't want to keep you past your thing, which you...
Yes, if we can. If you want to wrap it up?
Absolutely. So thanks for being here, and thanks for chatting about it.
It's always nice to have you. Like every time, this is the third time, but every time I always think we need to have her again. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, so you can yell at me for liking Forrest Gump. We will get into that.
We can do a whole show just about
There's so much. Yeah,
I can't wait.
There's so much more to talk about, clearly. Yeah, that's great.
Cool.
But thank you again so much. And let's not wait another year or so until the next time. Let's do it sooner. So,
sounds good.
Right on. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so very, very much. Yeah. Dude, Beth is radical.
It's almost like you can't see me, but resting your chin on your hands that are folded, listening along, going, go ahead.
When she started talking about, I think it was Bird Box, like she said some sentence and I was just like, yeah, I quit. Like it's the definition of painting is, and I was like, yep, that's that. Mm-hmm, you're a professional and I am a jerk.
No, it's just cool. It's like, you know, we were talking about 10,000 hours and stuff like that. You know, Beth Accomando's put in more than 10,000 hours and stuff that she's really passionate about. Mm-hmm. And she's great. Great to have on.
Absolutely. So.
And we've talked about this when you're watching somebody do something they're really good at. I love watching her when she's talking about a movie that she hates because she just
it
comes
is
alive
fun. It is fun.
Completely like, yeah. What is
wrong? That's why I want her to yell at me for liking Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Because she hates it so much.
Well, we'll have to.
And I've never heard why. Like, I've never heard her say why. And I'm curious.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But in a way, you kind of like, I don't want to hear why. Don't convince me why my movie that I like.
She won't. There's no way.
You're going to be weeping when you're not
doing it.
Okay. Everything I believe in is wrong.
Right. I quit for real.
Oh, man.
And you never heard from him again.
Reminds you of like a jazz musician who's been playing for years and they hear someone play.
Hangs it up.
They're like, well, that's it. Here, take my,
I'm never gonna be that
my jazz
good.
Flute. Yeah. I'll never play this again.
I'm never going to be that guy. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. But let's get into. What do you want to do? A movie review, or do we want to do Phone Army? What do you want to do?
Phone Army. Life's a binge. Phone Army. Tony in La Mesa.
Hey guys, Tony in La Mesa. I'm in a little thoughtful place right now. A little melancholy. Time. I was talking to my brother and he expressed a concern that my calls were too negative and that it was toxic, putting me in a bad spot mentally. Said I sounded like Stephen A. Smith, who he knows I hate. And I definitely don't want to sound like him and definitely don't want most of that. So I did a lot of thinking and basically, fuck you, man. I'm gonna do what I do. You don't get to tell me what to do. I'm back, bitches. I'm Sean. So Jared has a problem with Patrick Mahomes because he's demonstrative. You hate his mannerisms. You hate his black face. You hate his black attitude. You hate the way he walks around, black skin. I wonder why you don't hate other demonstrative quarterbacks. Like, I don't know, Philip Rivers, Baker Mayfield. Could it be because they're not black? Anyway, Mikey P., I love you, brother, and I'm always wanting to have your back. And I was with you with the up for the reboots and the remakes with Eddie Murphy and such. And then you did the one unforgivable thing, man. On a pop culture sitcom, you can't butcher one of the most popular quotes in the world. You can't go yippee-ki-yoe, yay, blah, blah. And, dude, you lost me. You guys need to take his mic away. You need to not stumble for once and then you get your microphone back. That's just the rules. I'm all in for the reboots and redos. I'm not like you guys who are so snooty and snobby and judgmental, and before anything can ever come out, you already determined it's going to suck. It doesn't ruin the past. It doesn't change the past. It doesn't change the original. They're just good movies. Mm-hmm. And Maddie, I'm a little hurt right now, and it's not your fault, but you said you got feedback? You got feedback on your movie reviews that wasn't from me? What the hell? Is there some secret feedback mechanism I'm unaware of? Anyway, I thought you were tired of being all hoi polloi, so you decided to do a really crappy movie with Will Ferrell just to prove you weren't above the common man. But the movie sucked. Your review of it sucked, and Jesus. I don't know what to think now. But then somebody else is coming. You know, I was like, I want to go find him and beat the crap out of him because I can criticize you. Nobody else can. All right, period. Actually, that review was really good, man. It was spot on. You just nailed that stuff. A few random TV thoughts. The R. Kelly, he's a bad guy. You need to watch it. You should probably watch at least half of the episodes, maybe every other one, and not necessarily in order, but watch it all because it matters and the people he deals with matters. Jared, you're wrong. Michael's not endearing on The Office. He's an a-hole, and the more times I watch it, the worse a-hole he becomes. He's not redeemable or endearing in any way. And then in terms of diets and stuff, mirror versus scale, I get the theory, but at some point, like for me right now with my rebuilt knees, pounds matter. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter what I look like. Every pound on my body is 7 pounds of pressure on my knee. So I need to drop pounds and hopefully that corresponds and I look good in the mirror, which I do because, you know. But anyway, the pounds matter. BJ, I'm telling you right now, pounds matter for your hip surgery.
Yep.
Drop those pounds and then shape them and don't worry about it so much after that. But when it comes to specifics of physics on your body, pounds matter. All right, I'm out.
Tony in La Mesa. La Mesa.
Outro.
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 Okay, so I got a couple things to say to that.
I was wallowing. I was wallowing in the brilliance of that outro recording.
No way.
Well, so there are redeemable Michael Scott moments. First of all, that is
so
the
there's
thing
that
can't happen. Yes.
I've got one. If you want to go.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
When he shows up to Pam's art exhibit.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the only one that just, only like, one. Makes his genuine compliment and actually buys the piece from her.
Yep. And then it's all part of the set for the entirety of the show. Yep.
Yeah. Take that.
There's one example. There's many, many more, but I don't want to get into that too much. And then the whole pound or the weight versus the mirror versus scale thing. Like that was just a generalized rule. Obviously, if you're going to be trying to do some rehab or going in for a surgery where obviously having more weight on your joints is a problem, then of course pounds matter, Tony. Jeez, come on, management as a general rule.
That, general rule.
Yes, general rule. That the you'll catch on one day, PJ. The mirror, like, if you're just trying to feel better, then just go by what the mirror says, not what the stupid scale says.
Yeah.
That's all I meant by that.
Yeah.
And then
it's one of the ones you're both right.
Well, yeah. And then the remakes and reboots, like, I'm all for it. Like you're saying, it does not ruin the previous thing. That's what I've said 1,000 times.
Yep.
But you don't need to make a sequel to a movie that is great just to make a sequel for it because you have no other ideas. That's all I'm saying.
After I hate Ghostbusters 3, I will still love Ghostbusters 1.
Exactly.
Nothing will change
that. Right. Well, it's just like the I don't think we ever talked about it on our show. We talked about it with the Nerd On guys when we were talking about books. Or books, the movies that were made out of, from books or whatever,
right.
Yeah.
Was the topic. And my whole point on that episode with them was like, you can like both. Like, just because you like them, like Ready Player One was the example because it was like the hotness at the time. I was like, I really like that book, but I also really like the movie. They're extremely different, but I can actually enjoy both. Sure. The people are like, this isn't like the book at all. I'm like,
so I have a question.
You can like it.
I have a question for you, Jerry.
Yes.
Would you rather read the book and then watch the movie or watch the movie and then read the book?
Always watch the movie and then read the book.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
If
Lindsay,
possible.
If you're listening.
Well, because you'll watch the movie and you'll find that enjoyable.
And now I want more information.
And then you'll read the book and it'll be totally more. So like,
right.
And it'll be extremely different. So like Jurassic Park was the first example of that I can remember in my life where you watched Jurassic Park and then I was like, this is really good. Like, I'm really into sci-fi. I want to read the book. And the book is extremely different. Like, the characters are all backwards. Like, the kid's younger. Like, the boy kid is older and the girl kid's younger. And Ian Malcolm dies and John Hammond dies and like all these things happen in the book that you're like, what? There's dinosaurs everywhere. So like in the movie when he's like, is there going to be dinosaurs on this dinosaur tour? Like, they're yes, in the book they're everywhere. He sees dinosaurs every second of every day because they're running rampant throughout the park immediately. So anyway, but you can like both.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, it does not ruin the past.
Nope.
Tony. But we don't need a Coming to America too. Like, we don't need it.
Nope.
Anyway.
Left Twix versus right Twix, man. Yep. I can like them both.
Right. That's right.
Tell me I have to choose
them too. Ooh, good times. Good times. But that's what we got for the phone army. If you would like to be a part of the phone army, you can as well by dialing 619-438-0532 and leave us a rant if you so desire.
Some of your points were valid, though, Tony.
Yeah, they were definitely valid.
They were
valid.
Legit.
You had valid thoughts. Never gonna live that. Whoops. Never gonna live that. Or that.
Never gonna live that down.
Dude, that was good. Well done. Good. Good times. After these messages,
well, the future looks very bright. Just as I was leaving the cemetery, Ed Sipple made me a proposition. And last night, the manager of the Star and Garter Burlesque House offered me a job in the chorus to do a strip act.
A strip act?
Yeah, show my shape.
Well, that's a business in itself.
Oh, I guess I ain't much of a businesswoman.
What's going to become of you? It's up to you to decide. If you stay in this town, you are lost.
Where would I go? Paris? I got $4.
That's what makes me mad with you. You're a coward. I mean it. You let life defeat you. You don't fight back.
What chance has a woman got?
More chance than men. A woman, young, beautiful like you, can get anything she wants in the world because you have power over men. But you must use men, not let them use you. You must be a master, not a slave. Look, here. Nietzsche says, all life, no matter how we idealize it, is nothing more nor less than exploitation. That's what I'm telling you. Exploit yourself. Go to some big city where you will find opportunities. Use men. Be strong. Defiant. Use men to get the things you want.
Back to the show.
Have you been?
How dare you?
I don't know.
I love
it. Just wanted to push a button.
Good. Push buttons. Yeah. He's a button pusher.
Man, when I hit that wet my pants one when Beth was here, that tickled my funny bone.
That was brilliant.
Tickled.
Remember that time?
Tickled me right.
Way back.
And then she said, some kid wet his pants. And then I said,
Good times. Cool. Still waiting on Rich to give me a good sound bite.
You'll get there.
Yeah, one day. One day.
I never slip.
Did you watch anything?
No.
Nothing, really?
Nope.
I watched stuff.
What'd you watch?
I watched some stuff. I watched some things.
Like?
I watched some things.
Some.
I watched, where are we? I watched Pulp Fiction again.
Yes.
For the first time in a little bit of a while.
Excellent.
It's good. It's good. It's
that
good.
That seems like you're not as impressed anymore.
No, it's good. I go, you know how I am with Tarantino, kind of up and down with him. And so my opinion,
I did not know that. Why?
With just kind of sometimes it's overblown. Sometimes I feel just he was just such the hype for when he kind of came onto the scene, mm-hmm. and then for some folks they just kind of hold him in a real revered place.
Do you think he has a bad movie?
I don't think that. I think some are better than others for sure.
That's not the question.
A bad movie.
Because, yeah, people hold him in this light of being a revered filmmaker and director and all right. that stuff because he is. Like, he should be, in my opinion.
He is. And then mm-hmm. I still have, like, the same initial reservations about certain issues about Pulp Fiction that I still have when I watch it again. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sit any better with me than it did before.
Like what?
His use of the N-word as a white guy in the script. Like, I can kind of appreciate.
Would it be different if it wasn't him?
Maybe. Because
it feels like self-serving.
Kind of. Like, almost like, look what I can do.
I really want to get away with saying
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, that. Yeah.
I forgive it because the bit's really funny.
It's funny.
Like, yeah. That's the whole, like, dead in the car or, like, in right. the living room or whatever. Right. Yeah.
But there's a, in the earlier in the movie with Vincent Vega and his drug dealer, mm-hmm. You know, he's kind of, they make another reference like that, you know, and which I can appreciate that a little bit more even, like, that two white guys could, like, say something like that. And if no one's around, you know, I'm not. So idealistic to think that, like, that, yeah, no one ever says it. You know, I know, like, white kids say it to each other all the time.
Yeah, you don't play video games on the internet.
No, I don't. Thank God.
I hear it every fucking day.
Yeah. That, really? Thank God.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Jared. Huh.
It started with.
Like when somebody shoots, like, caps you in, like, headshot.
Yeah,
like,
take that.
I mean, even for no reason, totally out of context.
I'm going to get this.
Not even talking about a person, like, just the word.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Ninja. Yeah. Ninja. Man, ninja.
God, yeah.
These ninjas. Get that ninja.
It has been that way since.
For a while.
The first, like, prevalent voice chat platform was Xbox Live.
Yes.
And that was in, like, 2004.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Or 5. And that was when it started. And I was like, whoa! You don't get to say that, brother.
Yeah.
Hold up. And yeah, it's just a thing. And, you know, I've learned to just kind of let it go because there's no winning against a voice on the internet
yes.
from 1,000 miles away.
Right.
Who's stomping you at Madden?
I'm not gonna teach some 13-year-old kid to not say that.
You're like, excuse me.
I'm playing Overwatch.
Nice interception, but don't use the racial slurs next time, guy.
Yeah. I still do. Like, I have to say something, so I was like, I'm like, guys, like, come on. I'll still do that, but I'm not gonna, like, harp on it. You know? But yeah, oh yeah, I didn't know that. That is definitely a thing.
Huh.
Right up there with him, and it's that, and that they're fucking your mother, and that.
Oh yeah, that one, that one's there for sure.
And blah, blah, blah.
For
sure, and they go hand in hand. Sometimes they come together. And that's the internet, folks.
Oh, good times, wonderful stuff.
Anonymity, but with voices.
Right.
Yeah.
Even cool. more dangerous.
But yeah, I get that. Like, I remember the first time I watched that movie, and it didn't put me off, but it was shocking.
Right. But I got a kick out of, like, some of the things that I didn't notice before.
Oh, really?
That, like, the waiter in the Jackrabbit Slims is Steve Buscemi, which I just never even, because it's such a tiny little part.
Right.
It never even registered to me that was him. Kathy Griffin is the one after Marcellus gets hit by the car, and she points out, so that guy, I can't believe he did that. He's all right over there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's Kathy Griffin, which is kind of fun, especially because she's gotten a lot more notoriety since then.
Right on.
I've watched True Detective. Yeah.
Season?
The new one.
Oh.
So I watched, but there's two episodes out, and I watched them both.
With my man, Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala Ali, I believe. Yeah, something like that.
Mahershala.
You're better at that than I am. Say it again.
Mahershala. Like
Mahershala Ali.
Yep.
But you know who he co-starred with for 4 or 5 years or so?
Kevin Spacey.
Our friend of the show, Laura Allen. On the show, the 2200?
Yes.
Is that the name of the show?
1100?
Is it the 1100?
I think
I doubled it.
The 100?
Yes. It's not the 100.
That's a different show.
No, it actually is the 100, isn't it?
No, that's a different one.
There is a show called the 100, though.
It's at least like it's at least 1,000.
I thought it was 1,000. Okay.
It's definitely much more than
it's
that.
More than, yeah, I think it's 1,000 because it's like the 2100 or the something like that.
Yes,
but, that sounds right.
Yeah, but anyway, she was her husband in that, which is kind of cool. So she always is like saying how happy she is for his success. That
he's good.
Yeah, he's very good. So he's really good, and it's a showpiece for him.
Yeah,
which is nice to see.
That's good
because the first one is definitely mainly a showpiece for Matthew McConaughey.
It is Matthew McConaughey's show.
There's a little bit of Woody Harrelson. I didn't see. I didn't sleep as good last night. Clearly, you can always tell. Like, how did I sleep the night before? Is if I can recall a word or not. So,
or name an actor's name.
Yeah, or yeah, or how to breathe. Or, what happened? Oh, I push my eyes together to blink. That's all right. But anyway, so
was it? Excuse me. Was it two different episodes, or was it one two hour long?
Two episodes.
Was the first one 2 hours?
No, it's about.
They just aired them at the same time. Then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it is two separate episodes.
It's two separate episodes.
Huh. Yeah. See, I hate when they do that. Special 2 hour premiere, and then it's just two episodes, and I'm like, well, that's episode one and episode two. It's not a 2 hour premiere.
Right.
Right.
I mean, technically, you're watching two hours.
They're premiering the season of the show.
It's like, come on.
But it's good. It's so far. I mean, I liked season two for a little while until I didn't.
You know? Same.
So like you enjoy like. It's got the same feel of this kind of dark, brooding, real dirty undertones to certain things. Sexually dirty, but just like,
yeah, just gritty and
yeah, right, yeah.
Did you watch Fargo season 3?
Season 3. What was the story?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I'm just curious.
I'm trying to remember what the
fan.
I did see. I don't think I saw. They have like four.
Because season one's five. Three only.
Is there only three?
Unless there might have been four.
Pretty sure.
But the first one's Billy Bob.
Very good.
Second one's Ted Danson, Kirsten Dunst, and the third one is whom? Anybody famous in it?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I just know at least there's three, so you probably haven't seen it then.
I wouldn't say that I hadn't.
Because that's right.
Because you know, like,
who knows?
Because, yeah, you put it on, and then you're like I realize we posted on our Facebook, like, through memories.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, the OA was really good. And I'm like, I watched clearly that entire series of the OA. Right. Now, with a little bit of a reminder, I'm sure I'd be like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, like, just right now, I couldn't tell you one thing about the OA.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
which is weird. did you watch anything else?
End of the Dragon, which we talked about.
Oh, right.
Damn,
yes.
Damn, that's so fun.
Nice.
It's so fun. There's so many David Walker. Speaking of David Walker,
yes.
he's made movies. He's made full length movies in his life.
What now?
He has written and directed and sometimes starred in full-length movies.
What?
Yes.
How have I not known that?
I don't know. But he did a movie called, which wasn't a full-length movie, but it's called Black Santa's Revenge.
Okay. Is it short?
It's a short.
Sure.
He's done full-length movies that cast my sister in a big part.
Was this like back in the day before the comic thing or like... randomly throughout.
Throughout.
Crazy.
Like, when he in Portland, he's like,
I've never said that.
Put together. He's got a lot to say.
That's a big deal.
He's talking about busy but
making movies.
He's writing he's writing Luke Cage and such, yeah. You know, and stuff like that.
And so Frederick Douglass.
And now it's Frederick Douglass.
Luke Cage.
So
Good times.
It was Ewan McGregor in Fargo season 3. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead,
who I have a total actress crush on.
Ewan McGregor. Uh-huh. Yeah, I heard good things about that.
Yeah,
I
didn't see it. Now that, and even that, go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I heard about it, but I didn't see it. I know I didn't see it. I haven't seen any Fargo, except for part of season 2, which was real good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good that season, that show is good.
Yes.
But they are similar to True Detective in that they take on a whole new storyline every year.
Right, right.
Except True Detective, I don't think there's any kind of through line between them. I could be wrong.
Mm.
But True Detective, or Fargo, there is a, albeit tiny connection.
They drop stuff here and there and
right.
jump through times and like, oh, she's supposed to be such and such his granddaughter right. or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like in Pulp Fiction, where they're like all these different things happen, and then they, you know, you watch them out of sequence.
The best one is watching Jules and Vincent walk into the strip club bar.
At the restaurant, the 50s style restaurant.
No. Earlier on, when they're going to meet Marcellus to get the suitcase for there, and Sim's like, "Why are you wearing them clothes?" And he's like, "Man, you don't even want to know." And
right.
Then you find out
why they're wearing them clothes.
Right.
Yeah. It's good times.
That's the best one.
That I was very much taken in.
Oh, man, I shot Marvin in the face.
when watching that movie again, the scene where they go to Jackrabbit Slim's is so fun to watch. You know, it's kind of a single take.
It's a good take. Yeah,
doing it through. And the so much detail in all the things. The guy being...
Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan, yeah. And then the guy being Ricky Nelson on stage, and all everything is themed. Like, and if you're not watching carefully, you're gonna miss two or three like really good references to stuff, to some pop culture stuff in the 50s.
Tarantino's good.
He is good. he is good. And
the attention to detail, man.
Yeah, and when I let go of a lot of like potential Tarantino hate, which absolutely could be learned from hearing it from someone else.
Sure.
You know, and same reason why I was resistant to like Forrest Gump at first, because I had heard that from someone.
Beth
Because we're all subject. Yes. Beth Accomando's article in The Stranger in Seattle back in the 90s. That I might have been conditioned to think that. But after the movie Inglourious Bastards, I was just I just tipped my hat and said, "You are good.
Yeah.
You are very good."
And do you like Django?
I liked Django. I liked it. I didn't love it. I mean, I just thought that he did. You just can't do them all the same and all as good as the next, right? So at some point you're going to be like, I like that, but I didn't like it as much as this.
Well, sure.
There are parts of Django where I'm like, all right, you're hamming it pretty hard here. I'm still on board. Like, I like the movie.
But that movie's good.
I like it. I liked it.
I like it a lot.
I liked it, but I didn't think it was
Troublemaker.
Good.
I'm like, ooh, look at him.
Yeah, I didn't like it as much as Inglourious Basterds.
Do you have a favorite Tarantino?
Probably Inglourious Basterds, but I really like Foxy Brown.
Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown.
AK-47. Yeah, and it's just I love that the way that movie. It's just kind of a relaxed like watching. It's just fun to watch. Just like,
is this new one he's making? Is not his 10th one? Is it his last one? He says he's make 10 movies, right? That's his thing.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
That's what it's like. His thing has always been like, I'm going to make 10 movies and that's it. And I'm going to call it, hang it up.
So is Hateful Eight his 8th movie?
Maybe. Does he count Kill Bill 1 and 2 as 2 different movies, you think?
No, that'd be a good question. I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either.
So that's just kind of one project.
I would assume that's one.
Yeah.
But anyway, the newest movie coming out is, it's about, as of right now, the working title is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Huh. And it's about, the only thing that I know about it is about like Manson women.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yes.
I'm there for that.
That's the only thing on that.
I'm there for any Tarantino movie.
Brad Pitt's in it, and Lena Dunham is in it.
Huh.
Those are the only things that I know.
Interesting. And I still want to watch Hateful Eight, but it doesn't inspire me to like ever like hit play. It's on my list.
Do it.
Okay, I'll take your word for it and do it.
It's Tarantino. It's got to be good.
Yeah,
it's got to be good.
Yeah. It's got to be good.
I wonder if he counts like Death Proof.
Do you have a favorite Jerry?
Tarantino film? I don't know. It's got to be Pulp Fiction still. Mm. Like, it's just, I love that movie so much. It changed the way that I watched movies, changed the way that I thought that movies could be.
Sure.
like, just the simple fact of, like, we're going to, like you were saying earlier, you can watch this part, and then you'll watch this part, and then you'll watch this part, and then this part's connected, and it's like, oh, wait, they're in the diner, oh, that's the guy that's holding him up, and that's, what? And, like, all that stuff, and it's just like, how is this your first movie, dude? Like, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Did it? That was.
Wasn't that after?
After Reservoir Dogs?
I thought it
yes.
was.
Yes.
But you didn't. After nobody Dogs. Watched Reservoir Dogs before they watched Pulp Fiction. That's why
I
everyone
thought
thinks.
I did.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah. like.
I didn't watch it before I watched it.
I know I didn't watch Reservoir right. Dogs before
I was way
I watched
too young
Pulp
to watch it when it came
right.
out. Right. Anyway.
Actually, Reservoir Dogs might be up there with one of my favorites. That's such a good movie.
I got to go with BJ and Glorious Bastards.
And Glorious Bastards.
Yeah. yeah.
The tension he creates in that.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's so good. Just him refilling his ink.
Well, Christoph Waltz is
he's a master.
Phenomenal
he's a master.
In that movie.
Stunning. Yeah, that's like a perfect
so
marriage.
Oh, good.
Sometimes
in that movie.
It's like, yeah, that a role and an actor are able to meet in this beautiful place.
That movie has something that I value highly in movies. It's perfect introductions of a character.
Oh, yeah.
And the introduction of Hans Landa, and not just the whole opening scene in general,
oh, yeah.
is phenomenal. Like, it's, I could watch just that on YouTube, mm-hmm. like, every day. Like, that's how good that is.
It's yeah. so good. And, like, yeah. in the fact, but see, and we give all the credit, I mean, not all the credit to Christoph Waltz, but, like, Tarantino wrote it.
It's written
like,
that way.
It's yeah. written that way, and shot yeah. that way, and directed
yeah.
that way.
Yeah,
and,
it's... brilliant.
It's phenomenal.
It's really, really well done.
The best part of that scene is the tone change when she's like, look, I know what you're doing. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
There's a family, there's a Jewish family here. Like, I know. Like, and it's used
to, he's like, do you mind if I switch back to English now?
You can see it in his body language. You can hear it in the tone of his voice. And it's like, oh.
And he's, and the way that he does, when he's like, can we talk in English? Great. Like, they
can't hear any of
this. He chooses it so that way he picks what they can hear. Yeah. So good.
It's good.
Woof. Oh, and plus, how can you not like
Gorlami.
Hitler getting his freaking face shot off? Yeah. Like, and the tension—he just builds tension so well.
Yeah,
the cool. when they're playing the card game downstairs, and he shows
that's
like,
the other great.
Good lord!
That's
when they're getting dessert in the restaurant.
Oh yeah,
with the, you know, with oh, the whipped cream and, yeah. and the yeah, all that is just
good. So good.
I'm gonna go watch that again.
Yeah, that might be Pulp Fiction. I don't know. I love Pulp Fiction so much.
The mark of great movies to me is if you're talking about them, you're like, man, I want to watch that movie now.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to watch it. Man.
Good times. How do we get all the way? You were talking
BJ
about.
BJ watched Pulp Fiction and then we went on Tarantino train.
Right. That is very true. But you were talking about.
Tarantino train.
I started the way tangent when you were talking about True Detective mm-hmm. because it's shot the same way as the first two seasons, which got me thinking about Fargo, which is shot the same way the first few seasons. Anyway, that's where that whole thing got derailed.
That's how we got there.
Yeah,
we always get there. So.
Come to think of it, we did watch two new things just for like some fluff entertainment.
Oh yeah,
we watched the first two episodes of The Masked Singer on Fox.
Oh boy,
I have a explain because I've got to tell you, I do have like a visceral reaction against this movie.
Do tell
against
Jared's
this show.
Dancing.
Why?
I don't know why.
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
But when I see it advertised,
yes,
to me it I'm not a big fan of the singer genre movies, the voice or the shows I'm seeing of the voice and
sure.
stuff like that.
Yes,
I used to be into like American Idol and such.
Right,
but now I'm just like I'm
it's played out.
I'm just done with that.
Yes, I agree.
So this to me looked like
it's 100% fluff.
Okay,
because all the people are already famous
right.
people. And you just don't know who it is. And like, they give you hints, and it's just like trying to figure who is it. Like, it's just fun to sit and try and figure it out.
So yeah. You liked it so far?
It was. I mean,
no.
It's not good. It's not. It's just.
It's not
fluff.
Changing the world.
It's background. We literally it served its purpose, and it got us like to watch. And we were actively trying to guess who they were.
Did
and
you
like,
figure it out?
I figured one of them. They you don't know. They only take one person out. Per
week?
Episode, right?
Yeah,
but I knew who one of them was definitively. I was like, I know who it is. I know who it is. And then they got booted, and they took the thing off, and I was like, boom!
Spoiler: who mic. Was it?
Antonio Brown.
It was Tommy Chong.
Now, how would you know? Because they talk. Do they talk?
Sing. They sing.
They sing in their own
the
voice.
The only thing they do is sing in their own voice.
Okay.
And then when they do an interview, they like chipmunk it.
Oh, okay.
But they still have their same. Vocal
the
speech
cadence.
Pattern,
right?
Everything.
Yeah, right.
And I, as soon as I heard him, and like they give clues, and like it shows this car, and says like there, like he said something like up in smoke, or it said something. And the car had a thing that said pipe dream on it. Like, and this could be up in smoke.
Give you hints.
Yeah. And I was like, Tommy Chong, 100%. Yeah. And I think Jenna McCarthy is one of the judges or people. And she's like, it's Cheech. It's Cheech. And I was like, wrong.
Nope.
Wrong. Other guy. Like, so it's
so
just,
stupid. It's Chong.
Right. That's literally what we're doing. Like, so it's fun. Like, it's not, it's totally dumb.
You
and
would have
whatever.
Gotten your vaccinations, you would have known that.
But it's fun. But it's fun for background. Like, it's totally fun.
Right on.
But it's not like, oh my God, did you see the Masked Singer?
Right.
Like, obviously.
I couldn't believe it was Tommy Chong.
Right. That's not what we're saying. And the other one was the Titan Games with The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I don't know why. I'm going to interject just for a second. I don't know why Lindsay's like really excited about this show. And she's never been into those like the sports or the games.
Right.
She's like, I really want to watch that. I'm like,
is it The Rock?
Really?
It must be The Rock.
That's what I was like, is it The Rock?
He's charming.
If it's The Rock, that's fine.
Right.
Like, I'm cool with that. Like, I'm not going to be like, uh-huh. But she's like, no, it's just, I like the idea of like people like going to challenges.
Which,
like,
did she like American Gladiators or like Ninja Warrior or any of that stuff?
So I showed her.
None of
that
had The Rock.
Yeah. We watched like clips from Ninja Warrior and she's like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, isn't that cool? And I'm like, yeah.
I do love that stuff. That's why we put on Titan Games.
I'm hyped from it, yeah. So how was it?
It's fun. It's fun again.
It looks like more produced than most shows. Like as far as the set and the things that they do and the scope of it.
It's like combining Ninja Warrior with like World's Strongest Man competition.
So they don't ever they're not like fighting people like American Gladiator style.
No, I mean they're doing stuff head to head. Like you have to climb up this huge thing that's like three stories tall. You have to climb the ladder and then you're on this really thin, crescent moon shaped bridge with a big pendulum, and you have to try and push the other person off. And so you're competing against somebody, but at the same time, like you're not always competing against
somebody.
It's like who can pull these things out the fastest that are 100 pounds each or whatever. Mm. But it's fun and. Samantha and I argue every time I call him The Rock. I will forever call him The Rock.
He's The Rock.
He is The Rock.
I can
but
smell
to her,
Dwayne
Johnson. She's Dwayne Johnson.
What
right?
Is
he's Dwayne Johnson DJ. Forever. Yeah. No, and that's the thing. They call him DJ on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
And both of us are like, what the fuck is that?
No.
He is not. He will never be DJ. Stop saying DJ. This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Do you think he might be DJ in his... In his
personal life?
I don't know. I hate it.
Huh. I hate those initial names.
DJ.
No, just...
That's not an initial name, though. That's his whole name.
His first and his last
name.
First
and last name.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not the same.
Well, I've heard lots of folks...
But not only that, but like...
Really?
I can give him Dwayne Johnson.
Because you're not
sure,
BL. Because
that's his name. Right. You're
right.
BL.
DJ. You're right.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Just hearing somebody call The Rock DJ, I'm like, nope.
That doesn't work.
DJ is DJ Tanner, and that's the only time DJ is DJ. Like, or DJ Connor from, like, that's it. There's two characters that I know named DJ. One's a Tanner and one's a Connor.
Yeah.
It's not The Rock.
Hey, nope. DJ, push that rock.
But anywho, it's fun. They're both fun. Like, they're both total time wasters.
Cool.
That are fun.
Not everything needs
to be. We needed a break from...
True Detective.
We needed a break from Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
And so we're like, let's put this on. Because we're on Hulu, and it's like top of the list. So we're like, yeah, fuck it. Let's watch it. And it served its purpose.
Cool.
And I would, if I were to go back and watch one all the way through, it would be Titan Games. Because it's...
Looks
I love that. So I love that American Gladiators.
That's on Hulu?
Ninja Warrior stuff. Yeah.
All right. I'll check it out.
MEC show.
Right on.
NBC. But those are the two things that I watched that are new.
Cool.
And they're very new.
I have watched nothing new.
Right.
What'd you watch old?
Nothing.
We were right at the end of season one of Avatar The Last Airbender because there are 18 episodes and somehow we've gotten through all of them in less than a week.
Hey.
So we watched two per night. Like it's just, they're short and it's good. And I finally figured out like, if I want to get people to watch the show, I figured out which episode to show them and be like, look, the show's good.
Right.
Because a lot of people who start at the first episode will be like, I don't know, this is a kid's show.
This is a dumb kid's cartoon.
But like six episodes in, it gets like really dark and serious. And you're like,
cool.
Whoa, this is good. So if you want to watch it, watch episode six. It's called The Storm. Great episode.
Well, and speaking of like shorter stuff, during our conversations about this show, I assumed that it was full-length, full network TV seasons. But The Good Place... only has 12 episodes the first season, 13 episodes the second season.
Yep.
So are they taking, do they take full year off or do they take six months off or like?
Because they just recently released like, they took a few months off in the middle of the season.
So there's like 5-6 episodes and then a break and then
episode 7
and then 6 more episodes coming out. Cuz I thought
really weird.
Network TV now has like 22 episodes or unless they're breaking away from that like and they're skipping or they're jumping to the cable idea of 10 to 13 episodes is really all you need for a season.
Yeah.
But
I like the idea of a shorter story arc. I guess unless it's fleshed out really well.
Wrap it up.
A lot of the ones that have those 18 and 20, they're not a continuous story arc for the most part, right?
I mean, The Office, Parks and Rec, 30 Rock, they all have 30 episodes, but those are older shows.
Yeah.
So but I'm just curious.
Like, yeah. They're not necessarily trying to tell a longer story. I mean, it's pretty much each story is like, this is the time we went on a field trip to whatever. And this is like,
that is
even
true.
Though some of the stuff carries through, but.
Yeah, but so I just found that, like, when the season one twist or whatever happens in The Good Place, I was like, that's crazy. It's happening, like, in the middle of the show. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is the end of season one. I was like, this is episode 13, I think. And I was like, that's weird. Because, like, I wasn't looking forward at all. And, like, it just was the next one I hit was season two, episode one. I was like, 13 episodes for a season on a network TV show seems odd. Yeah.
So. Agreed.
But anyway, check it out. Good place.
Yeah.
Check them all out. Check everything
I'm still
out.
Enjoying it. And I've got rewatches to have on that. There are certain shows now that are becoming into rewatching lists, on the rewatching list. Or like, I'm so enjoying F is for Family, like, second and third time.
Yeah.
There's so many good little bits in there. Like,
that's a fun show. I
like
that
just hidden, like, little gems. And when we remember, like, how before there was all this television and all this content, I would watch every episode of The Simpsons and Seinfeld so many times.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so that doesn't happen nearly as much anymore. But I think, like, when I'm watching The Simpsons and Seinfeld, there are things that you see and you appreciate when you see it with a repeated view. So, and good movies like that, too. You're like, dang, I didn't really realize that this was.
Well, that's the thing with most movies. Like, you have to watch them more than once. Like Beth was talking about Star Wars and how she got booted out of a, Star Wars fan club because she said she liked the movie or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, boo.
You're not a real fan.
But, like, they probably only watched it the one time and, like, they saw it in the theater and their hype was so big and, like, it didn't hit the marks that they wanted it to hit. So then they're like, this sucks. But if you go back and watch it again, guess what? It's a pretty good movie. Like,
I think it's mostly I don't want to say fanboys in that derogatory sort of way. But it's just that they're mad that Luke didn't come and, like, actually save the day.
Oh,
the way
course.
That they thought he was going to.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
It's like, why did he have to die? Spoiler alert, Luke dies.
Like, well, not only that, but, like, he should have trained her. They made it look in the preview like he was going to train her all crazy and Yoda and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nope. And, like, when he chucks the thing over his shoulder right at the top of the movie, you're like, oh, I get what you're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
I now.
You're literally.
That, get what you think
that
you know.
100% changed my expectations that moment. And I was like, oh, okay. Where are
doing
we going?
Something different.
Where are we going?
Yeah.
Cool. And I still enjoyed it.
Let's do something different.
But when you watch that movie again, or like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, mm-hmm. you watch that in the theater with everyone on opening night or opening weekend or whatever. You're like, yeah, woo. And you're so hyped for it. And you're like, this is great. He's giving me everything from the front. I love it.
Yeah.
And then you go home and watch it at home. And you're like, meh.
This wasn't that good.
Right. Like, it's still fun. And enjoy, but it's not.
It's not as fun as the first one. I mean, there's some fun stuff in the two. There still is.
Of course.
Like, some very fun stuff. But yeah, there is a little bit of a meh after.
When you watch it again,
right.
but if you talk to somebody who only saw it that opening weekend, and you're like, I watched it again, it was all right, and you're like, what are you talking about? It's so good.
Yeah.
It's like, watch it again. I think you have to almost watch everything twice, because the first time you're trying to figure it out, or you're following the emotional arc, and it's pulling you along like it's supposed to. You're following the narrative and all this stuff. And you're not really watching it, if that makes any sense.
You're riding along with your expectations the first time.
Right, or what they're telling you
to
think and feel.
You're just kind of taking in as much of the information as you can.
As opposed to sitting there and fully, like, oh, okay, now that I know that Bruce Willis is dead, like, I can watch Sixth Sense again. And then you'll see the hints, and you'll pick up on so much more stuff. And it's not even just about picking up the clues or whatever, but you already know the secret, so you can ditch that whole narrative and be like, okay, now let's see. And you can watch camera cuts and you can watch cinematography and you can focus more on the film instead of the story, if that makes any sense.
Sure. That reminds me, is anyone planning to go see Glass?
Oh, heck yeah.
I really want to go see it.
I'm definitely going to go
see it. I don't go see movies in theaters. But...
I'm going to go see that in the theater.
Yeah.
For sure.
Have you heard anything about it?
No.
Uh-oh. Have you?
See, is it garbage? Don't even like. Don't
is it
even...
garbage?
I didn't say that.
Is it garbage?
I didn't say that.
I bet it's garbage.
I've heard mixed things.
Huh.
But that's inevitable.
The,
anyway.
The best thing I heard was that it's a third movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the third movie.
Sure.
In a trilogy, in a lot of ways.
But see, that's what I think we even talked about it briefly. But I was like, I don't see it as a third movie.
No. Well,
technically,
no.
It is. Like, yeah. To me, it's Unbreakable 2. To me. Like, again,
right?
Yeah. That's just what it seems like to be.
Yeah.
And there just happens to be a movie about a character in there as well. Like Han Solo isn't Star Wars Episode 9 or Solo, you know what I mean? Where that's what Split is. It's like, here's this movie about this guy.
Yeah.
It's not
at the very
part
end,
of,
yeah.
But it's not like Star Wars.
Right.
It's Solo, a Star Wars story. Just like it's Split, an Unbreakable story. So
I think
I see it as Unbreakable 2.
Do they? They don't.
But it probably falls into.
They don't market it as.
Oh no, not at all. They just call it Split. You don't know until the very end of the movie. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I were, I'm not Shyamalan. If they had made Split and Glass concurrently, and then release Split and let like everything happen, and wait like 4 or 5 months. By the way, here's Glass. Out.
Right. We'll
see it this weekend. People would be like, what?
Right.
Yeah.
And the hype would have been so through the roof that people would have been seeing it in droves.
Or like he had Glass like done, and Split comes out, and he's like, oh, and by the way, there's Glass on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Just have it there for you.
Oh,
to
by
watch.
The way, it's there.
People would lose their minds.
I think
Split was good.
That should be something that's going
to
happen.
Like mentioning like things that are happening differently with TV, like that, it has to happen with movies at some point too. Like we have to surprise people because just making, as you know, Bird Box, good or bad, one way or the other, like it was a thing.
Yeah,
like, it was a solid thing for. Like,
well,
like,
and same thing with the Cloverfield paradox, where like here's a commercial for Cloverfield, and it's like, oh, by the way, you can
watch
it right now.
Right now,
we're like, wait, what? And everyone went and watched it.
Yeah,
I sure did.
It was bad.
And it was bad. Right.
But I watched it.
Of course. Everyone did. Because it was like, that was, it's like when all of a sudden it's like, oh, and by the way, Beyonce's album's out. You're like, wait, what?
Right.
You know, she had a new single, let alone a full album. Let's listen to it now. Exactly.
Right.
So it's like all this like surprise drops and stuff. It's like.
I like it.
If
it's kind of cool.
Like that would be the new thing to be like, I made a movie and I sold it to Paramount. And plus I have a movie that I sold to Netflix, and they're exact like same world.
Now
or
you
whatever.
Can watch it right now,
and like you can go watch this one, and then as soon as you get home, there's one waiting for you to be like, "Here's the sequel."
That's why like, I don't know what the exact release date for Ghostbusters 3 is, but they should have waited until like a month before. Be like, oh, by the way, here's Ghostbusters 3.
Right.
What?
It's like summer 2020, so it's a year away.
Because they can't break out of that old,
year and a half away,
the old
really.
Movie marketing system. It's like, oh, we have to tell them what's going to happen, and then we got to
move. Oh, that was another thing
TV
from
spots,
news.
And has to be this and that.
The only other thing from news that I wanted to say was Avatar 2 and 3 are done filming and production and everything.
So that's maybe they're going to do it like that.
But two production on... 4, 5, and 6?
4, 5, and 6.
Is in limbo.
Yeah, they might not do it.
They might not do that.
Right. But
wow,
he has six stories. Yeah.
Interesting. 20 years later to
10 years to do these two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it only 10 years?
10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still.
And I really like Avatar.
I'm wondering if...
I just don't know where they go.
Like, is there going to be a leap in how good it looks? Because I think... Because that's like that was the main strength of the first movie.
It's right.
Like, wow, this looks amazing.
Well, and like I, you know, as recycled as the story was or whatever, like I still enjoyed the new take on it and how it was this and like, and people hated on Sam Worthington. I thought he was good in the movie, and I just don't see where they go since he's now full on part of the Na'vi. Like
I mean, there's a whole.
I mean, I guess they have to
planet,
and they have to find a new home. So maybe that's what it's gonna be. Because like they blew up their house.
There's lots
like,
of ways. There's lots of places to go.
And then they
but
end
I just
up
don't know if it's
going to
be
on
as...
a brand new planet and it's Earth.
And right. Like... And then they have to take it from
oh
the
Oh my
humans.
Gosh. I'm the apes. Wrong. Yeah. It was Earth all along.
You finally made a monkey.
Yes, we finally made a monkey.
Oh, good times. Oh, The Simpsons.
Great.
Dr. Zaius is the best song.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius. Can I play the piano anymore?
Of course you can.
Well, I couldn't before. The Simpsons is
y'all
great.
Are making me so happy good. Right now. That's so good. I was gonna wet my pants. Oh wow, that's how happy I am.
That's that funny.
Oh man, what were we talking? Oh, so Avatar. Like, I just don't. I just don't know if it's gonna be as intriguing,
right?
No. Because part of what made it so intriguing was the human part of it. Yeah. As weird as that might sound. And but was, now there's no human. I mean, there's two humans left on the planet. Like, you know what I mean? They only kept like 10 humans. And so it's like,
you see people not ever coming back to the planet, be like, no, we're not going to go down like that and start another fight. Yeah. Or,
who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm intrigued because I really like the first one. And James Cameron is a friggin' like genius. Like, he's a genius.
He's a visionary.
That man can make stuff.
Yeah. The Abyss is one of my favorite movies, and no one knows what I'm talking about. When I love The Abyss. Abyss, right?
The Abyss is the shit.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Anything else? No?
No.
I don't think so.
Wrap it on up. Wrap it on up.
Two things.
There's a song. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up.
I don't know that one.
You know that one?
I don't know that one either.
Fabulous Thunderbirds?
No.
Nope.
Here, all right.
It'll be the commercial break. I'll plug it in.
Siri, play Wrap It Up by the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Oh.
Will she do that? Can Siri play songs? Oh, you have Apple Music.
If you have the right things, you can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't have that. Mm-hmm. She didn't even hear you.
Maybe she could do it, but... Does that ring a bell?
No clue.
Nope. I've never heard this.
Never heard it, really?
I've never heard this.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sexy ways now, baby. Ooh.
Oh, I thought he was going to say cup. It sounds like another song.
Yeah, a lot of music is like that.
Yeah, it reminds me of something. I can't think of it.
It sounds like
you never
it's
heard
a,
that song.
It sounds like it's a parody of a song to me. Like, that's what it seems like. Like, he's like, it sounds like he's doing a voice, even though he's obviously not. But he's like, now I'm going to sing like this and sound like someone else. Like, it just seems. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. Yes. Let's wrap it up.
Let's really wrap it up for sure.
Hey, baby. Oh, good times. This is fun. I love the show.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Anyway, thanks out there for listening. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Email lifesabinge@gmail.com. You know the drill.
And now that your world has been changed, become a patron.
Yeah.
Come join us.
Patreon.
Help us make this ship move through the next few years.
/ Life's a Binge.
Help Binge.
/ Life's a Binge. But on that note, thanks out there for listening. This has been Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we'll see you on the couch. Life's a Binge.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.